Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that God will meet you in this time with a fresh revelation of His love for you and that you will be challenged to align with the amazing plans that God has waiting for you. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Last week, Pastor Claude, Papa Claude, that's what I like to call him, he was talking about 6 marriage killers. And if you haven't watched or listened to that sermon, you should. If you're married or planning on getting married, I think it's super helpful. And that's what I love about this series is that it's giving us a lot of practical things. And we all have different relationships that we're a part of, right? Whether it's a marriage relationship, relationship with our kids or whatever, right? We all have relationships that I think we need closer to God. And there's the verse that really highlights, I think, what this series is all about. And it's Psalms 84:3. It says, "Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow builds her nest and raises her young at a place near your altar, O Lord of heaven's armies, my King and my God." And I think that really highlights what this series is about, is that whatever relationship that we're in, right, even the sparrow knows that if I'm going to build my nest, if I'm going to build my home somewhere, it's got to be in His presence. It's got to be in God's presence. And I think that's what really this whole series is about, is if we want healthy relationships, it's got to be in His presence. If we want a healthy home, it's got to be in His presence. And that's basically what I'm talking about this morning. And really what it boils down to is an intentionality. We could probably just stop right there. You can go home now. No. What I'm going to be talking about this morning specifically, though, is my teens, my nest. So as a youth pastor, obviously I see teens all the time. I'm not a parent, so just saying, you know, take it with a grain of salt here. I do have, I'm not a parent, but I'm a parent on the way. My wife is 18 weeks pregnant, if you didn't know. Thank you. We're super excited, me and my wife. It's awesome. We actually just found out the gender yesterday. We went to Winnipeg to Baby Moon to get an ultrasound, and see little baby was doing like somersaults. It was so cool. It was like little tiny fingers and feet. So, you know, this morning I'm kind of distracted. You know, I'm preaching, but just know I'm thinking about that in the back of my head. We found out the gender and everything. I won't say it out loud, but there will be signs. Wearing some pink shoes, embracing, gonna be a girl dad, so super pumped about that. So excited. I'm an expert. I'm an expert on parenting, okay? I'm really excited to talk about this because the youth are going through a lot, and it's kind of a confusing time if you're a teen. It's a confusing time. If you're a parent of teens, it's a confusing time. If you're around teens, it's kind of just a confusing time. And this morning, I kind of want to talk about things that I've learned throughout my years of ministry, and hopefully that will be an insight to you, whether you're a parent of teens, or you're a grandparent of teens, or maybe you're an employer of teens, or they're your sibling, whatever. You probably have a teen in your life somewhere. And so hopefully you gain some insight from this. And last Wednesday, I had the youth answer a question, and the question was, what do you wish your parents would better understand? And this is a bit of a loaded question. I knew that going into it, and some of the responses were heartbreaking, some of the responses were funny, some of them were super endearing, and so I figured I'd share 3 with you this morning. I wish I could go through all of them with you, but we'll highlight a couple key ones. But the first one that really stood out to me was, "You can't pause an online game," and that one is amazing. They had circled and underlined, "You can't." And, man, I remember trying to get that across to my mom. Luckily, my brother did most of the work for that. He used to play this game called Age of Empires 3. Anybody play that? Oh, let's go, come on. So he'd do the, I'm gonna talk to you specifically here. He did the 30-minute treaty, so then you wouldn't be able to attack the other empires for like a good half hour. But then the game would last around an hour. So then my mom got in her head that, okay, online games last around an hour, and there's like a specific match that they're in. But when I played games, I played I don't know if you guys know MMORPGs. It's like massive multiplayer online role-playing games. I used to play this one called Star Wars The Old Republic, which is just consistently online. And so in my mom's head, I'm sorry, Mom, in your head, it was like match-based, right? That after like an hour, it would be over. But mine was just always online. It never stopped. The match never ended because there was no matches. But you would ask me, is your match over yet? And I'd say no. But even though I wasn't in a match because it never ended. So I'm there like 3 hours later. My mom's like, it's got to be over now. And I'm like, oh, yeah, sorry. I forgot to tell you. It's over. So, yeah, you can't pause an online game. So I just ranted there. That's my story. This next one is more serious, but I think it's super real. And I think this is something that we see too much. And this one said, I wish my dad would spend more time having fun with me over trying to get more money. And there was a few, actually, responses like that I wish my parents would spend more time with me instead of doing this or instead of doing that. And I think this just shows us, though, is that our kids, our teens, they're longing for your attention. They're longing for affirmation. They're longing for a presence in their lives. And this next one I thought was really endearing, but it was, I want my parents to better understand how amazing they are. So whoever you are amazing. And so there was a bunch of these different responses, and I kind of based my sermon upon some key themes that I saw from that. And so there's three themes that I really want to highlight that what our youth, what our teens are desiring. And the first one is to be seen. The first one is to be seen. The second one is to be known. And I know that kind of ties into number one. But the third is to be shown. And again, it's just basically intentionality. But the first one, see them. And this one is super huge. Because, again, this is when I wish my parents would see this. I wish my parents would understand this, right? There's this longing to be seen for this affirmation, for this presence. Teens long to be understood. They long to be heard. And I think that's not just something for teens, right? I think this is all of us. We all long to be heard. We all long to be understood. And one of the ways that we can best understand teenagers, though, is to understand the world that they're living in right now. And I know we have all sorts of generations in this room, but our youth are going through a very particular time right now than much more particular than if you're an older millennial or Gen X or baby boomer or whatever. And one of the responses was highlighting that. They said, I wish my parents better understood that we are living in a different time than they did. And again, with the you can't pause online games, right? We show that this is a very real thing, that our teens are growing up in a much different time than some of us grew up in. And even myself, that was like 15 years ago, and the world has actually changed radically even since then. There's this author, Jonathan Haidt, who has this book, The Anxious Generation. I actually recommend it. Everybody to read. He's not a believer or anything, but he talks about how kids once had a play-based childhood that was more unsupervised. I remember my parents telling me their childhood. They basically just ran around until like 9 p.m., came in for supper, and then that was it. Their parents didn't really ask them anything, just, oh, you're still alive. That's good to hear. Right? And maybe that's your childhood. But by the 90s and early 2000s, kids' play was generally more inside, right? At the time, there was all of these murders and kidnappings happened. So in the news cycles, there's stranger danger. And so kids kind of slowly went from being outside and unsupervised to inside and very supervised. And what happened was, as a means of protecting kids, we brought them inside, yet not knowing as technology was slowly advancing and evolving that the danger didn't remain outside. It actually came inside. It actually came in their pockets with their phones and in their rooms with their computers. The danger came inside. And according to Statistics Canada, 99.2% of Canadian youth are online, who are on the internet. And that means, right, they're exposed to comparison, especially on Instagram with young girls, with predatory algorithms that are stealing your info and feeding you things and getting you locked into echo chambers, the porn addiction and all of those things that you can find online, cyberbullying and exploitation. It's actually 15% of youth report being cyberbullied or cyber stalked. And And this isn't just a statistics. We've walked with kids who are going through that at youth, in our youth group, at our church. This is a very real problem that teenagers are facing, especially with platforms like Snapchat, Instagram, Roblox, and Discord. I remember when I used to play online, I'd be playing with like a 30-year-old guy from Europe who's talking about getting high and stuff like that. And my parents had no idea. Sorry, Mom. Right? Because with the internet, there's so much accessibility, right? It's the Wild West. And we're actually starting to see the effects of that in our youth. Some more statistics I'm going to throw at you here. Canadian youth with 6+ hours of daily screen time are 2.5 times more likely to report high anxiety. And listen, I've seen some youth with like 12 hours of screen time. They're like, hey, check this out, I have 12 hours of screen time. Like, dude, that's not good, you need to sleep. Yikes, that can't be good for you. But the statistics are saying, right, 2.5 more times likely to report high anxiety, 2 times more likely to report depression, 3 times more likely to experience severe mental distress, and 2.5 times more likely to have suicidal ideation. And so these effects are real. These are real. These are happening. In 2019, actually, 12% of Canadian youth rated their mental health as fair or poor, and by 2023, that number doubled to 26%. And so there's other studies that highlight this that I don't have up here, but what we're seeing is that the effects of COVID that had on our teens with the anxiety, the depression, the not knowing what was going on, and all of the different things that came with that, the isolation, that hasn't actually left our teens at all. They're still carrying that. They're still living with that. And for ages 16, I don't know if I said this one already, 16 to 24, suicide is the second leading cause of death by 21%, with 24% of youth reporting suicidal ideation and 8% report planning. And so this generation is going through a very unique season right now. And if we want to see our teens, if we want to see our kids, right, we have to understand that they're living in a much different world than maybe some of us grew up in. That this looks different, and that maybe we need to adjust the way that we do things in order to accommodate for that. And these statistics aren't just for kids outside of church. I can't tell you how many times I've heard of teens struggling with self-harm, with suicidal thoughts. I remember a couple weeks ago, right, during the time of Easter, we had a cross up here, and we had a time of putting sticky notes, of bringing things to the cross, things that we wanted to surrender. And as I was cleaning those up at the end of the night, couldn't help but see a bunch of anxiety, self-harm, depression. Like, this is real. Our youth in this church are dealing with these things. And they need to be seen. They need to be heard. I remember seeing some saying, unworthy, or I'm not pretty enough. These are real. Our teens are longing to be heard. And this is a generation of what we call doomers. That's what they call themselves online. And again, as I was looking through these responses that I had asked with this question over and over, it says, I wish that I was heard. I wish that my parents would listen. And so what really stood out is, man, the best way to have our teens, to have people feel seen, is to hear them, to make healthy spaces where they can actually have a voice, where they're not afraid of experiencing pushback right away, where they actually can share their thoughts in a safe place. I remember being younger and going through some stuff, and I always remember my dad saying, you can come and talk with me, you can come and talk with me. I was like, yeah. Thanks. But I never did, right? Especially being a young teenage guy, you don't really share that often. It's crazy, actually, even just seeing in youth how the girls will share a lot more than the guys. As guys, you kind of just like isolate. You're like, I'm just gonna toughen through. I'm just gonna push it way down and hope that it never sees the light of the day. But that doesn't work. And that was not working for me. I came to a place, I was struggling with porn and stuff like that, and I was just, oh man, I was so discouraged and depressed, and I shared with my dad, and I was terrified though. I had just done the Conquer series, or in the process of doing the Conquer series, and I didn't want my parents to know, and I felt weird doing it, and then I was like, oh, I need to tell my dad because I can't do this on my own anymore. And then I start sharing with him, and I'm expecting him to, I don't know, I don't even know the way that I was reacting, but I didn't think it was going to be good, even though he always told me that I could talk with him. But as I shared with him, he just gave me his ear. He didn't lecture me with this long sermon about why porn is bad or why masturbation is bad. No, he just listened to me. He let me share my heart to him. And I just felt so seen in that moment. It was so liberating because I just felt so heard. And it's honestly so simple, right? It's just having an ear. And maybe you are doing that with your own kids or with people around you. Like, you can come and talk with me. You can come and talk with me. But the fact that you make yourself available, right? That's the important thing, is they may not share with you right away. But if they know that you are available, one day when they have the courage to share, they can know that you are a safe place to do that. And so the being available is so huge. I'll never forget that moment when I was able to share that with my dad. Because his silence and his listening spoke louder than anything that he could ever say to me. And that's the thing, right? Oftentimes with youth, this is something I always tell my leaders, but they don't care about what you know until they know that you care. When you show that you care, that speaks so much. To verbalize that is important, because sometimes they forget. In James 1:19, it says, "Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry." When we actively live this out in our homes, it creates this place where there's safety, where there's listening, where people can be heard. It's so vital, right, to share each other's burdens, because you're not afraid of being seen as small or weak, or you're not afraid of them being angry. If we never listen, if we just respond with anger or with not understanding, it creates this culture in our homes where nobody shares. And man, that sucks. That's not good. Right? You want to have your home be a nest where you can share for you as parents, you as siblings, and also for your teens. And so just remaining available and having a listening ear is huge. That's one of the biggest ways that you can show people in your life, not just the teens, that you see them, is to have a listening ear, to be quick to listen, slow to anger, slow to have grace, and slow to forgive. The second one that I want to go to is to know them. And I know, especially parents hearing this, you're like, well, no duh, I know my kids. Like, I know them better than they know themselves. But there's something special when we slow down in the current season that our children are in and get to know them in this particular moment, because it goes by so fast. I think about myself, it feels like I was a kid just like 2 years ago, and now I'm supposed to be managing a home, and now I have a kid on the way. I'm like, how did I get here? Time flies by so quickly. And so let's not get caught up in all of these different things that are stealing our attention, and to slow down, to meet our kids where they're at and get to know them, get to know their interests, their hobbies, what they like, what they dislike in this current season. And there's this one kid that wrote down, this one youth that wrote down, "I wish my parents understood why it's so important for me to buy more Lego." And then they wrote times two beside that. And I'm like, man, that's real. Like, Mom, can you buy me some more Lego? That would be awesome. I thought it was hilarious, but it speaks to, especially for teens, man, there's no better way than to get into their world than to be interested in what they're interested in, or trying to be interested in what they're interested in. It opens the door and it makes them feel so seen and so known. And sometimes you're like, man, sometimes I don't know if my teen wants me to spend time with them or not, because they're in their room and they're telling me not to come in. And then now they're all super close and they're super happy and you're like, what's going on? But did you know that actually teenage brains are going through a very similar process that babies do when becoming toddlers. There's all of these new neurons that are forming and firing, right? Their teenage brains are slowly morphing into adult ones. And so that's why for one moment they're just brilliant. And you're like, wow, you're saying something so profound. The next, they're just consistently complaining about not cleaning their room. And you're like, what's going on? Like, where's this disconnect happening? Because their brains are just like, they're going crazy right now. And sometimes you can feel like you can't figure them out. But to simply slow down and to spend time with them is one of the best ways to know them. I'll never forget when my mom, I'm sorry, Mom, I've been pointing on you several times today. But she played Wii Sports with me and my siblings when I was younger, and that was the best thing. I don't know if you even remember that. I was talking to my dad, too. I remember he played Black Ops 1 with me, and he was struggling to, like, walk but also aim at the same time. That's what he was really struggling. If you're older, you probably don't understand. That's okay. But I remember talking to him about that actually when I was preparing this sermon. He had no idea. He didn't even remember that. He was like, man, as soon as they came out with stuff with more than two buttons, I was just lost. He was at the arcade, right? You've got one joystick or like two buttons max. Now he's got two joystick, you got two buttons on the top, you got four buttons here, and you got the D-pad, and it's like, whoa, that's too many buttons. But I remember him doing that with me. And he forgot about it, but I never forgot. I never forgot. He went out of his way. I knew that his video game level went to like Super Nintendo, but he took the time with me and played games with me, even though he didn't understand them. He didn't really care for them. But he cared for me, and he wanted to be with me. And that spoke so much to me that, oh, wow, my mom, my dad, they actually want to know me and get to know what I'm interested in. And that made me feel so validated and so seen, and it made me feel safe. And so it's really simple things, right? But being present is huge. Being present sometimes speaks so much louder than even words can sometimes, even though verbalizing is also super important, especially depending what kind of student you have or what kind of youth you have or what kind of kid you have. And that really goes into the next thing that I want to talk about is, you know, we often talk about in marriage about knowing the love languages, but I think the love languages are so much more applicable than our marital or romantic relationship, but in our family relationships, right? I remember reading one of the responses that the teens wrote, and they were saying that sometimes it feels like my parents love my siblings more than I do. And for some broken families, that may actually be the case. But I think oftentimes you can feel unloved because love isn't being expressed in a way that you actually understand or it actually relates to you. The one person, it could be physical touch. Another person, it could be words of affirmation. And if you're not speaking their love language, then they actually don't even feel loved, even though you do love them. And that's why taking the time to ask the question, how can I love my kids, or how can I love my spouse, how can I love whoever in the way that they'll actually feel it? I think that's so huge in making people feel known, is actually loving them in a way that they will register it. And so I think that's huge, and especially when it comes to dads. I just want to take a time to point out, dads, right now, your affirmation means the world to your kids. It means the world. When my dad, even still, he texted me today. He said, I'm proud of you and I'm praying for you as you're preaching today. Like, oh, your affirmation means everything to your kids. Your presence, even in a busy week, you taking the time to be with them means so much to your teens, so much to your kids, so much. Even when they're adults, it means a lot. Even in the small ways, you create a safety that nobody else can. It's unique. And I have seen too many teens with absent fathers and no father figures in their life. And they're struggling to know their identity. They're struggling all of these different things. Yes, they might struggle with that already, even if they have a present father. But it's even more augmented when there's not a present father in the mix. And even just this last week, heard a youth telling to their leader that they wish their father was more involved in their life, and they feel like they never spend time with him. We need to be involved as fathers. Your word means so much. Your daughters need you to spend time with them and for them to be called beautiful by you. Your sons need to hear, "I'm proud of you, son," and for you to give them a hug, even though you might not have experienced that yourself. Your kids are longing for that attention, for that affection. And maybe you've been a distant father in your kids' lives. It's time to get involved. It's time to get involved. It's time to be present. It's never too late to start. Start now, because they need you. They really do. Psalms 103:13 says, "The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him." When we are tender and compassionate to our children, we reveal God's love and heart to them. We really do. When you, right, God is close. He's transcendent, right? He's God, but he's also imminent, right? He sent his son, Jesus, to carry our burdens. And he sent his Holy Spirit to dwell in us. He knows our hearts. He knows our struggles. He knows our fears. And he's so personal and relational. And that's how we ought to be. Relational, personal. When you knock at the door of your teen's room and sit in their world, even if they shrug you off, which they probably have many times, you are reflecting God's heart to them. And that leads into the last thing that I want to talk about, is that we need to show them. Proverbs 20, verse 7 says, "The godly walk with integrity. Blessed are the children who follow them." Whether you're a mentor, a grandfather, a parent, whatever, your integrity and your walk with God will create a legacy. It will have an impact on your children in a positive way or in a negative way. Your greatest lecture or sermon is your life. And that's what scares me most about being a dad, because I look at my own life and I'm like, oh, shoot, I'm a broken person. Man, if it's relying on how good I am, shoot. But I think sometimes we get caught up in, oh, I'm not good enough, or I'm not this, or I'm not that, and that can discourage us even more from trying. But integrity it's not necessarily perfection, right? It's being consistent. It's being real, that even though you might be falling short, yeah, we're all going to fall short, but are we consistent and getting back up and modeling brokenness at the feet of Jesus in our families? Are we modeling dependency on Jesus? Not that we have it all figured out, but that we have him, and in his presence, we can start to make things right again, right? We need to model pursuing Jesus. We can't just preach Jesus and not model it. We have to be caught up with him. If you're not caught up in serving at church or following God, why do you expect your kids to? It's got to start with us. It must start with us. Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 to 9 says, "And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I have given you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home, when you are on the road, and when you are going to bed, and when you are getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them down on your doorposts and your house and your gates." What I love about this verse is that it's twofold. It's you remain consistently. You commit yourselves to the laws of God, and then you share it over and over with your kids. But it has to start with that commitment of, I am going, and me and my house, we shall serve the Lord, right? It's got to start with the parents saying, we are going to follow God, and we're going to commit ourselves to that. And in that commitment, we share and we point our kids to walking with God. And it's not that we can make them follow God, but we create this garden where they can grow in and see the ways of God, not just being taught, but modeled, right? Where they can catch it, not just hear about it. That's why it's so important. That's why Moses was saying to the Israelites, it's not just a command. It's not just a checklist. It's a way of life. It's got to impact who you are and who you're becoming. It's so important. It's so important. Maybe You as parents, maybe, or maybe you're not a parent, and you feel like you're struggling, maybe as a mentor figure. But listen, don't count yourself out. Maybe you're hearing me, and you didn't do these things with your kids, and maybe you feel that post-parent regret of, oh, I should have done this, I should have done that. Listen, don't count yourself out. It's never too late for God to bring reconciliation. If there's unforgiveness, maybe you have an adult children that you are not talking to right now because there's been a wedge in that relationship. Now's the time to make amends. It's never too late to make amends. God is a redeeming God, and just because you've slipped up, it doesn't mean that things aren't irreconcilable. It's not reliant on us, it's reliant on Him. We just have to be obedient. We just have to say yes. We just have to say, Lord, come and move in this situation and help me to make the right next step. Because, I want to highlight parents specifically right now. Your work is irreplaceable. As a youth minister, as youth leaders, we can't replace the work that you do. You are the primary spiritual authority in your children's life. And so if you are on fire for God, that's going to affect your kids. If you're not on fire for God, that's going to affect your kids. It will. We, as a youth ministry, we're only a supplement. We can never be a replacement. What you do is immeasurable. It really is. And I know in this generation, it's hard maybe to be parents, especially of teens, where there's this big disconnect between the generations, where we don't really understand each other. Even the language sometimes is different. And it requires so much patience and dying to the self. And if I could leave you with one word of encouragement, is I remember when I was a kid, my parents were my heroes, right? My dad was was a superhero. My mom was a superhero. But then, as I got into my teens, that kind of started to change. I started to see more and more of their flaws as just being people. And I started to think that I knew more than they did. Oh, you should do this, you should do that, blah, 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 especially in my head. But as I grew older, they became my heroes again. Because I realized, first of all, just how broken and foolish that I am. Like, oh my goodness, I am nowhere any better than they are. But I started to understand more and more of what they carried, right? The job situation, the marriage, all of the different things that life throws your way. There's you're managing so many different things. And now looking back on it, I'm like, oh my goodness, how did they love me so well in the midst of all that they're juggling? And maybe you're juggling a bunch of stuff right now and you're wondering, oh man, I wish I could give more attention to my kid, or I wish I could do more of this. Listen, don't lose heart. Remain patient, because one day they'll understand and they'll see. Maybe, you know, you're getting some attitude right now with your teens and you're like, oh, listen, they will understand one day. Just remain patient, remain gracious, remain close to Him, remain close to Jesus. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you by my righteous right hand. God is with you. Lean on Him. Wherever you are on your journey, He will give you the ability to see your kids. He will give you the ability to know them. And He will give you the ability to show them. It's not by might, not by strength, it's by His Spirit. Amen? Because guess what? He sees you. God sees you. God knows you. And God will show you. Let's stand and worship together. Lord, I just want to ask for your Spirit to come and fill us wherever we are on our journey, parents of teens or not. Lord, come and strengthen us to remain patient, to be quick to listen, and to be slow to anger, that, Lord, all of our households would become nests, places of your presence, where our children, where the friends of our children, where whoever is in our household would flourish because you are present, Lord God. I pray for those who are dealing with tough circumstances. Maybe their teenagers are going through hell right now. I pray that you would come and bring your intervention. Maybe for parents who are anxious because their kids are walking away from God. Lord, I pray for a patience and a grace, Lord.
I pray that you would come and move in every marital or family situation, and that you would come and bring reconciliation where there's impatience, where there's anger, where there's abuse, where there's brokenness, that you would come and make a change, where you would come and expose and bring the darkness into the light, Lord God, that there could be renewal, Jesus. For parents who are distant from their kids, for absent fathers, Lord, I pray for conviction. That we would step into our families with boldness, with direction, and to be present in your name, Jesus. Thank you for every single person here, and I pray that you would come and move in their situation. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.